Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first edition of Aryan Matters. This is the internet radio web broadcast putting forward ideas from a white racialist viewpoint. My name is James Hawthorne, and my co-host is Lee Gardner. Good evening, Lee.
How you doing?
Doing great today. Just want to let everybody know what our show is about. It's basically going to be in two parts. The first part's going to be both of us doing two stories each, two news stories, a topic, and of general interest to everybody. And then the second half hour of the show will be what we call our round table, where me and Lee will just shoot the breeze on general topics of interest to all you white racialists out there. And I'm going to get the ball rolling with a wonderful story that I happened to come across from Kingston, New York, about a wonderful individual of the black persuasion. As we all know, they are wonderful human beings. And this was about a 14-year-old young boy who was badly beaten by this what can only be described as a large biped savage of the black variety. The student was taken to Benedictine Hospital for surgery to major repair on a badly fractured eye socket. And this happened in school hours on the school ground at approximately 10:45 a.m. And so the police detective Timothy Matthews stated, a second 14-year-old student went to the defense of the first boy and was also injured, but he wasn't critically, as the first boy. The first student was treated initially in the school's medical office and then taken to Benedictine by a mobile life. Detective Matthews said Kingston police are searching for a 15-year-old male and a 16 to 17-year-old male in connection with this incident. Doesn't mention the race here, by the way, everybody. Does not mention the race. We know what we're looking for, no kidding. And they will be charged with felony and misdemeanor assault, Detective Matthews said. The two 14-year-olds are white. Oh, and here we go, and the two suspects are black, believe it or not, everybody. But Matthews said his department was not aware of any racial overtones in Friday's fight. No racial overtones in Friday's fight.
No, of course not. It was just blacks fighting whites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were words exchanged, apparently, but it seems that like it was just a disagreement that got out of hand, said the detective. The mother of the 14-year-old youth undergoing surgery said, quote, in my opinion, my child is not safe in that school. Your child is not safe in that school. My child, it was assaulted and battered for no reason, and there are just too many children in that school. There just isn't enough security. Friday's incident came on the heels of two assaults on September 30th involving students on their way home from Kingston High School, Matthews said. One under the overpass on Broadway and the second at the corner of Henry Street and Broadway, both after school hours. In the first of these incidents, robbery seemed to be the motive, although Matthews said police are looking at a gang connection, since both involved a group of 10 to 12 students attacking one or two. That's 10 to 12 black savages.
That's right.
Attacking two white Aryan boys. It was the same group in both attacks, Detective Matthews said. In the first attack, an iPod was stolen, Matthews said, but the motive is less clear in the second attack. Well, the second attack was the fact that his friend came to his aid and these 10 to 12 savages attacked him. That's, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's going on there. We are looking for a 15-year-old male and for Jeremy Tibbs, a 16-year-old, who will be both charged with misdemeanor assault and felony attempted robbery, Detective Matthews said. It's what's going on, folks, out there. No matter what country you're in, no matter what Aryan country you're in, what white country you're in, these apes are attacking our people. They're killing our people, and they're raping our people. They're killing and raping our young white women, and they are beating up ferociously our young white men in mass, in mob-handed mess. The first boy who got attacked, his eye was badly fractured, and apparently he has to put this bag over his eye. because otherwise they had to re-suture his socket, otherwise his eye would have came out. So that's the situation there. Kingston High School. Apropos to that, the radio talk show host Hal Turner, you can listen to Hal at thehalturnershow.com. He is organising a white solidarity rally to be held in Kingston, outside the school. And the good news about this is, even if the school is closed down for the day, which is a good possibility, across the street from the school is the City Hall. So all you wonderful skinheads, National Socialists, white racialists, creators, whoever you are, hop in your car as soon as Hal says the time and when you need to be there, and be there.
And the chances are that we'll get the same what BNN calls TNB, typical nigger behavior, out of these spooks that are going to be there around in the area of this demonstration that Hal Turner and everybody is going to put on. It only proves our point. Anytime these Negroes behave like they did in Toledo or in New Orleans, it just proves our point. We know how Africans behave. It's no surprise to us. I mean, Jared Taylor has got this great book, Color of Crime, and Professor J. Philippe Rushton has this great book, Race, Evolution, and Behavior, which you know, explains why Groids behave like this. You know, they have lower IQs and they have more testosterone. Those are a very bad combination. Basically, you've got adrenaline-charged idiots, is all it amounts to. Just let everyone know out there a little bit about our background. Like I said, we've been in this movement a while. I knew Dr. Pierce personally, and I was in the National Alliance. And James was in.
I've been involved in the movement since I was 16 years of age. I awoke at 16, like a lightning bolt hit me, just like Commander Rockwell when he read Mein Kampf. It was a little bit like me when I was 16. I had a little National Socialist Club in high school, a few of my friends were members of. We had membership cards, the whole thing. And again, I was just going to the library, picking up certain books and just reading them. And a flash of light hit me one day, and I haven't been the same since. If anyone wants to go to a great forum, we advise you and wholeheartedly applaud VNN.com. Go VNN.com, go and check those guys out. They have a forum called VNNforum.com. It's a great place to go and vent.
Yeah, and you're going to find all these links to our favorite places on ArianMatters.com. We just, as soon as we can, we'll put them up there. We're not going to give all the you know, the URLs out and everything online while we're speaking. We're just going to talk about the story and then have it posted online.
And before Lee goes on to his story, I just want to just to reiterate with this Kingston High School at Hal Turner, at thehalturnershow.com, we'll be organizing a rally, a white solidarity rally, and that people are just going to go outside that school en masse. White people are going to stand up and say enough is enough. We're not going to have these niggers attack our people anymore. The time, to use a good analogy, to draw the line in the sand is right now. And we started it in Toledo, and we're going to start it in Kingston, and then we're going to go from city to city to city to let these apes know that the day has come that the white man's going to stand up and fight back. We don't mind African testosterone, but we don't want African testosterone in our countries and our nations. It's okay in one place, and that's in Africa.
That's right.
And here's Lee's going to do his story, his first story for this
yeah,
evening.
Yeah, well, before I do that, we want to say that, you know, that we have nothing against Africans as long as they're in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they cannot live among us without causing us heck of a lot of pain and destruction. Many people know that the personal pain someone would suffer because their loved one has been killed by one of these Africans or grievously injured and handicapped or whatever else, that suffering never goes away. That'll last in the family forever. And the simple fact is that that would not have happened if they were not here in our countries. I mean, any of our white countries or formerly white countries anywhere in the damn world, like the UK and, you know, of course, Canada, the United States, and everywhere else.
France, Spain, Holland,
Germany,
Sweden,
everywhere. In formerly white countries, this is happening, okay?
And just before Lee goes on here, a great American by the name of George Lincoln Rockwell basically said, if you want to Google his name, George Lincoln Rockwell, and some great information on that great American, he said, the black man cannot live in white urban society. He cannot live in amongst us in our society. He does not fit. So we say, if he doesn't fit, let's get the boats and the planes lined up and let's get these people on it. Yeah. Back to where they should be, and that place, my friends, is Africa.
Yeah, one of the things that one of the best things I ever heard was from Frank Weltner, who on one of his older programs, he actually figured out how many airplane flights it would take to get all the spooks back to Africa, and it was great. I mean, it was like he said, you know, 60 days and so many flights. I don't know exactly, but if you think about it, every single large airport in the United States has something like a plane taking off every 90 seconds or something like that. And each one of those planes on the average is 250 people. And it is possible, and that's the easiest and fastest way to get them the hell out. Now, another thing I want to mention here about this...
You get more blacks on tankers on those... on those you would get more blacks on those oil
well,
tankers.
That's true, but it takes how many weeks for them to...
Who cares? As long as they're
yeah, offshore,
so long,
right?
So long as they are off our shore.
Off our shore.
I don't care how long it takes them to get back to Africa. I really don't care.
That's fine with me, too.
Plus, it'd be, it'd be less expensive, too. So, and plus, it would give the blacks the total understanding of how their forefathers were brought here in the first place. They're just going back to Africa a bit faster than their forefathers came over here.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, we're for any way, any means necessary to get that job done. And their sensibilities be damned, because nobody cares about our sensibilities anymore. Now, let me just bring one more thing up, too, about, again, our show, AryanManners.com. And the thing I just mentioned, Frank Weltner, we were talking about Alex Linder and his VNN stuff. And James mentioned Hal Turner. We will mention everybody, and we will not blast anybody who is in the white nationalist, national socialist, KKK, pro-white, Aryan, whatever you want to call it, camp. You know, our job is not here to get on here and start bitching and gossiping about other people and putting them down for whatever. Now, we might put down white people in general and say they're not doing enough. There's no activity from people that say they're white nationalists, that are thousands and thousands that are in forum that might not do something. But we're not going to blast particular people who are out in the open, in the media, in the public, such as David Duke and everybody else.
Well, these forums are great. People can go on there and they can vent and they can put forward their ideas and they can meet new people online. I would like to see people who are in these forums. I don't mind you doing 50 posts a night and, you know, having a good old time expressing your viewpoints on 50 posts a night. So long as before you put those 50 posts a night, before that you were out on the streets putting 2,000 flyers out, or 200 Aryan alternative newspapers, doing something out on that street, putting out business cards, putting out stickers. So long as you're doing something out there for one of the great white nationalist, national socialist organizations out there, or even if you're a lone wolf doing this, I want to see a lot more of our people on the streets doing this, reaching our people, reaching our white people. They need us. And once you've done that, then you can come home to the warmness of your wonderful house and put your computer on, and then you can post your 50 posts. I'm not got a problem with that at all.
Absolutely, that's right. So as people have once said, you're either part of the solution, part of the problem, or you're just part of the scenery. The part of the problem, we all know who the problem is the damn kikes. It's the Jews. They're the problem. They have caused all of this mess that we're in now. And we'll get into that more later. If you're part of the solution, you are someone who's brave enough, who has the balls, who's not a wimp or a child, and actually is speaking out for white people. Anyway, let me get on to my story here. The story is titled DJ's Appeal, Kill the Whiteness Inside. And it's a story about... in New York, there is this DJ going around, and he yells out, "Kill Whitey," it says. He yells the pumps into the microphone as he bounces to the beat What gonna do, dance? He raps to the beat, kill Whitey. This story is the typical story of how whites are demonized, demoralized, and meant to be ashamed of their heritage and their race, and to actually glorify the African black hip hop rap culture and all this crap. It's gotten so bad that they were openly saying kill Whitey. Now just imagine that this was popular. This is the Washington Post now. The story is coming out. Just imagine that you know, people are out saying, you know, kill Darkie, kill the Spook, or something like that. And that was like the fad. That was the end thing to do. And somebody's saying, well, you know, we got to destroy the blackness. Obviously, in our present society now, with the Marxist lies and everything that's out there, there's no way they would allow that to go. But this horrible anti-whiteness, you know, this anti-Aryanism that's promulgated by the MTV and all the other Jewish-controlled media, is going to lead to this kind of stuff. James, do you want to comment on this?
It's just what I tell everybody. There's a double standard that goes on here. Just imagine if that was a white person who stood up there and said that. What would happen to that white person? You would have the mass media would jump on that individual. He'd be probably national news on all the newspapers in the country. He would be on probably the main networks as an absolute disgusting piece of a human being by the Jewish media. There's a double standard in the media, and the standard is white people aren't allowed representation. They are not allowed representation, and the black and the ethnics, and especially the Jews, are overrepresented, and they're the ones who are allowed to get away with stuff.
Well, James, actually, this is by a white person.
It is.
Did you know that?
That's a shocker.
Yeah, this DJ is a white man, and he's the one saying, kill Whitey.
A wigger?
Yeah, he's a wigger.
Well, wiggers.
That's what it is. I mean, but again, it's in this major newspaper here. They've got the title as Kill the Whiteness Inside.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Insane.
What kind of society would allow that? And then there's no way it would allow Kill the Blackness Inside.
A sick society allows that.
Yeah, a crazy inside. Now, of course, what they got at the end here is, right, is this, guess if you can guess the persuasion of this gentleman here, direct this question to Mark Grubstein.
Jew.
A 36-year-old artist, and he says the Kill Whitey parties. See, because what they have is they have these parties where they have these white people, white DJs, like this guy who's named the Pumpsta, you know, saying all this stuff, and they have these, it's kind of like an underground thing, you know, like the rave parties, you know, just these little things where all these white people get together and pretend like they're Negroes. And anyway, he says, these Kill the White parties speak to something inside of him. I make art about that. That's my life, he said. It's based on the ideas that are funny, on the idea that things are that are funny are the deepest. If you don't see it's funny, he said, I can't help you.
So hang on a minute. That's just a party of white wiggers. Wiggers, it's a wigger party. That's what it is, just all white wiggers. Or is it a black
shirt? Yeah, I think it's mostly wiggers, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And where does this Jew come into it?
Apparently he's one of the promoters
of it. Oh, he's one of the promoters? Surprise.
Yeah, surprise, right?
Surprise, yeah.
Another Jew, like Hitler said, another Jew under the surface. Because everywhere you look in our society, there's always a Jew behind the worst things, no matter what they are. Mm-hmm. Pornography, you know, there's a recent story not too long ago, we ought to have that article up too, about how Jews have run the pornography business and always have. And then again, this is just another example. I mean, again, this idea that they push that there's something bad wrong with being white. What does that do? What does that do to your kids? You know, your kids will actually hate themselves and try to escape it.
Yep.
You know, the only thing they can do then is either join it, right, by saying, okay, I'm a wigger too, and guess what, I hate whites too, or escape it, and escape us. I mean, the worst thing they could do is suicide, right? That's the worst thing they could do.
Yep.
And, of course, they do that a lot. kids are doing that a lot. And I heard 3 or 4 years ago, Dr. Pierce, on one of his broadcasts, said that the rate was increasing for child suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what happens is the kids have grown up in this horrible culture where they're treated like, oh, your ancestors were horrible because they brought the slaves here, which isn't true, right? The Jews did. But they had slavery, treated the black man bad, right? They killed all the Indians. They massacred them. They shouldn't have done that. Oh, and guess what? The Germans, the worst of all, they killed all these innocent Jews, right? Which is not true either.
Mm-hmm.
But what are these little kids who are very, very susceptible, right, to all these things? They absorb them like a sponge. They absorb all these horrible ideas. What are these kids going to do except either join it in their hatred against their own people, or, again, you know, find some escapism, which, whatever it is, it's probably not good. It's probably the goth scene. It's probably drugs. It's probably pornography or sex. Or
plus, by the way, a Jew by the name of Murray Rothstein. I believe he runs MTV.
Yeah, MTV.
Mr. Rothstein is behind most of this. I like to call it the wiggerization of white youth. MTV. It's a cancer. It's basically fornication on the screen, as far as I'm concerned, and it should be totally shut down. In a good, healthy society, we wouldn't need to have Mr. Rothstein's abomination of a TV channel.
That's right. Ultimately, the only thing we're doing on this show is adding our voice to those who are speaking out already.
A growing voice, too.
It's a growing voice, because there's more and more of us speaking out. More and more people realize they cannot cross the Jew. It's the kiss of death. I mean, all our politicians know this, right? They cannot speak against what Israel wants. But it's also that they're realizing, too, that not only can they speak out against the Jew, but they also cannot speak out against what the Jews want. So if they want all this bullshit, you know, race mixing and everything else, if you speak out against that, all of a sudden, what does that mean? That means they can call you in their media a racist, a hater. You know, you speak against Mexican immigration, or that you don't want your daughter to fade to black and have their mixed mulatto bastard child, because everybody knows that stupid Negro males are deadbeat fathers that leave bastard children all over the place.
Exactly.
Right? And so if you speak out against that, guess what? You are one of the evil, racist, hater, blah, 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 Nazi, all these horrible, allegedly,
hate.
Allegedly things that put you in the hate category, right, mm-hmm. which you cannot do, right? Nobody is supposed to hate. You know, we're all supposed to get along. I mean, that's what causes all these problems, right? It's hate. That's what caused all those spooks to riot in Toledo, right? It was hate. Or loot and rob and rape and murder in New Orleans, right? It was hate. It was hate by us?
It's the white man's fault for oppressing the black people.
Oh, I see.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, that's what they say, right? But if you guys believe that, then, you know, you're one of the lemmings, and you need to wake up. So, again, what we're doing here is we're adding our voice, and hopefully, you know, we'll give you some entertainment and some information about things that you didn't know about.
I just want to let everybody know that these four stories that we do cover every Area Matters will be on our website at areamatters.com. On the left-hand side will be a story archive, and the four stories that we talk about will be the four stories that will be on the left-hand side of the website. My time for the next story is about... speaking of Toledo, Lee mentioned right there, I have a story from wonderful ABC News. Yes, folks, that wonderful kosher entertainment news channel, ABC News, run by that wonderful Disney Corporation, Mr. Iger, who now replaced Mr.
Eisner.
Mr. Eisner. He gave his friend Mr. Iger the job. Basically, what happened here was ABC News puts white supremacists riot in Toledo, Ohio. ABCnews.com reports that hundreds of white supremacists riot. Yes, folks, white supremacists riot in Toledo, Ohio, after virtually exclusive black mob seizes on brief peaceful appearance of two dozen, I can't even pronounce that word, that's in German, stormtrooper Nazis. to burn, loot, and smash private property. So what ABC News has reported here, folks, is that white supremacists, neo-Nazis, went on a rampage in Toledo, Ohio. But what the truth of the matter was, as everyone knows who has a one-eyed Jew in the corner, and knows that it wasn't the National Socialists who were rioting, it was the feckless Negroes. And these Negroes weren't very feckless, apparently. They were very, very violent, as usual. Too much testosterone, and not enough African veldt to get rid of that testosterone. whether they were separated by religions, language, hundreds of years, thousands of miles, or billions of white dollars, vainly attempting to build civility into their culture, most black males of South and West African extraction have distinctly identical body language, think the same way, and do the same thing as soon as they perceive their numbers to impart individual immunity from law enforcement reprisal. They rape, rob, loot, and riot. They're the four R's, the three R's and an L. Rape, rob, loot, and riot. Or they can rape and rob and loot, whatever you want to do. That's what they do. That's their raison d'etre for being in our white societies. To continue, the ethnic group whose supremacy depends on preserving the total atomization, division, and racial ignorance of European Americans would have you think otherwise. As media equalizing technology proliferates, the losing war they're fighting will yield many more desperate frauds, such as this ABCNews.com headline announcing hundreds of white supremacists riot in Toledo, Ohio. At least they wrote supremacist in this article, and in place of the favorite establishment non-word, supremacist. Supremacist? Mm-hmm. This report I got was from nationalvanguard.org, a great news site for anyone who doesn't know it. That's well worth a daily visit. But further to this story was on the wires. It was reported by AP, and it went all around the world that white supremacists, neo-Nazis, were rioting in Toledo, Ohio, and the poor feckless Negroes were hiding and cowering. And as we saw all on our TV stations, it wasn't, as I say, it wasn't the white nationalists, the white supremacists, or the neo-Nazis rioting, it was the niggers. The correction came about a week later, I think under pressure from every one of us on the web. Correction came, and I saw this in the WashingtonPost.com, and the correction from the Associated Press, Thursday, October 20th, 2005, a correction, Nazi March, story headline, Toledo, Ohio, in an October 16th story about protesters who rioted at a white supremacist march, a headline on the Associated Press online story erroneously said, white supremacist riot in Toledo, Ohio. As the story itself made clear, the rioting was by the protesters and not the supremacists. Major Jack Ford blamed the rioting on gangs taking advantage of a volatile situation.
Yeah.
So the truth, but it took about a week. This came out on October 20th, and the march was on the 15th, if I remember correctly. It's about a week. And that AP have let this story float around so as the gullible amongst us would be able to swallow this horrible story that white people riot. And as we all know, white people don't riot.
No.
Does Lee have a second story? You want to comment on these stories? I think this is quite appalling, actually, that ABC News, it's the third largest news agency in the United States.
I know, Jeff. And see, the damage has already been done. Right, for people that overseas especially, that did not get to see the live footage that we all saw with those yard apes running loose in Toledo. Uh-huh. I mean, that's all it was. I mean, and it's so obvious. Now, it's amazing that they could actually print such a lying title to that story if uh-huh. they said in the story itself it made clear that the protesters were blacks and they were the rioters, not the National Socialists. That is amazing. Who would let that story go? You know, what kind of professional journalism do we have going on here?
I reckon if we were to dig really deep into this story, and I should have done a little bit of more research on this, but we were pushed for time in our first edition of Area Matters there. If I would have dug a bit deeper on this story, I would have found no doubt a Jew. I probably wouldn't have to have dug too far to have found a Jew in there.
I bet you're right.
Pushing this story, or even the Goy reporter, female or male, with the story, but behind that, I probably could have found some lurking Jew behind that story.
No, you're right.
And I just want to let everybody know that there's a reason why they do this, why they're pushing this against our people. And if you haven't read this book, The Culture of Critique by Kevin MacDonald, you can get that at noontidepress.com. The basic fact is that the Jews want the white people out the way because Jews feel uncomfortable in a white Aryan society. They want the whites to be mixed with the blacks and to create a wonderful coffee-colored world where the Jew can rule supreme, and his racialism will be not noticed by these by the rest of us who've been miseducated to death.
Right. You know, and that's an important point to. You know, to bring up that that the Jews want this. Okay, they're Karl Marx, the son of rabbis, is the one who created this whole ideology around this. Let's build a society. Now this idea of equality, egalitarianism goes back a ways, but Marx even tried to apply it to societies and to nations, to governments, saying that everybody is equal. And the only just or good government is one where it treats everybody as if they are equal. When we know, one, you can do some things better than I can do, and like singing or whatever else, and I can do things that you would say I do better than you.
You haven't hit me in the shower, obviously.
Well, I'm just using an example. And here we're saying we're not even equal as white people, but they're for some reason we're supposed to believe that we're equal to these blacks. Now, why is that? Why is that? Now, it goes back to, again, Marx started it, and the Frankfurt School is actually perpetuated with all these Jews, Adorno, and stuff, which Professor MacDonald talks about in his book. The point is, you know, why do they do this? Like James said, it's to get us into this coffee-colored world of every man. Now, if everybody is equal, which they claim, and the only difference between a white man and a black man is skin color, then at that point, if that was the truth, then you really have very little argument against it. I mean, you might say, well, you know, there's some white peoples and we should preserve our diversity. You know, as they always like to say, diversity is a strength, so maybe we should preserve some white people. Even though we're all equal, we have different skin colors, so let's preserve that diversity. And, of course, we know white people have different colored eyes. But it's a lot deeper than skin deep, right? The differences are absolutely astounding between the white and the black race. I mean, in all kinds of things, you know, IQ, bone structure, testosterone levels, you know, other hormone levels, hair follicles. There's extremely... a huge amount of differences between whites and blacks, and to say that we are somehow haters because we don't like black people just because their skin color is black, that's wrong. If that was the case, why would they riot in Toledo like friggin' maniacs, or loot, rob, rape, and murder in New Orleans, and in the Rodney King L.A. riots, and back in Watts and all that stuff? I mean, you could repeat this. This stuff is repeated over and over again. Plus, you know, the example of Africa itself, a place that has never produced anything at all. I mean, they didn't even invent a friggin' wheel or fork to eat with. You know, they've got dung-covered huts out there. I mean, it's basically there's cavemen standards when compared with white people.
And the structures that are over there, the actual urbanized areas, the cities there, were basically built by white people.
Black, that's right. That's right.
Black seven. I go back to what George Lincoln Rockwell says. They just don't. That they can't make it in white urban civilization.
No, they don't have the capacity for civilization.
And all this pent up energy, as you say, this pent up this testosterone inside them, this pent up energy, this willingness to rape, riot, and loot. They're better off being in Africa because then they can help themselves, that amongst their own kind, and they can rape, rob, and loot
to the heart's content.
So long as they leave us white people alone.
That's right. And, you know, again, to the scientific evidence for this kind of stuff is just uncontestable. And the main person who brings this stuff out in his very good and well-documented book is Professor Rushton. And, of course, again, lower IQ, especially among the... Hispanics and the Africans, and more testosterone. That is a bad combination. It's very dangerous.
People who are listening, and the wonderful thing about the internet is that you can Google these things, or you can go to the FBI if you're in the United States and interested in crime there. You can go to the FBI and get their statistics. It's online about the blacks being the majority of the criminals.
But I said all that to say that that's part of this next story here.
Oh.
This next story is called The Bias of Blind Reviews.
That was a nice segue there. Go on.
Thank you. This article is talking about this professor named Mike Adams, okay, who's a criminologist. And what he did is he wrote a report in which he said, well, he wrote a review, actually. That's what this blind review is, in which he said, the Hate Crimes Act is completely unscientific. Because when he researched it, he discovered that the instances of black-on-white crime outweigh those of white-on-black crime by a factor of 7, at least. Mm. Okay? Now, guess what happened to him? 5 of the academic journals that he submitted this report to rejected his piece.
Okay.
Is that surprising? Well, no.
Doesn't surprise me.
Because, again, what they are pushing is the Jewish Marxist egalitarian agenda. And anything that goes against that, they will not allow. So in all of our universities everywhere, all of your children who have, first as little children, they've gone through these things like Free to Be, You and Me. It's a propaganda movie that Michael Jackson is in, Alan Alda is in, pushing this homosexual little thing with this boy having this doll. You know, I remember that when I was a kid. As a small boy, I was 9 years old in the United States, going to school, and they showed this film repeatedly for 4th, 5th, 6th grade, I think. And what that did, again, is that shows that everybody is equal, you know, all whites, blacks, even homosexuals, everybody's just equal. And they keep pushing that. And then, of course, when you get a little older, you go to high school, and junior high school, you start learning the history, and guess what you learn in history? All the evil stuff that white people did, right? The slavery, killing the Indians, blah, blah, the Holocaust, and you can't be Nazi, you can't be racist, because that means you're looking out, if you're a National Socialist and are a Nazi, that means you're looking out for white people, and you can't do that.
It says here in the article that although initially accepted, the magazine's editor called Professor Adams to renege on that publication promise. The editor, Michelle Stone. I don't know here if Stone's...
I think it is.
If she is a Jew.
Yeah, it does happen. That's an Anglicized
name.
Yes.
So there's a good chance that good old Michelle is a Jew. If not, well, she's a co-conspirator of the York...
Yeah, she's just brainwashed, programmed into the Marxist lies.
Youngstown State University in Ohio. Again, Ohio seems to be the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
Claim that Professor Adams made, quote, culturally unacceptable remarks about food. What Professor Adams had done was to point out that rotten meat and vegetables were routinely sold to prisons, an exchange he had personally witnessed. His article was published when Stone left her job, but how many other articles was she able to suppress for similarly unacceptable remarks? Exactly. So if Ms. Stone is one of the...
Oh, right. Well, they use any excuse they can to get somebody, or to use an excuse as to why they're not doing something like promoting this stuff, the fact that blacks are 7 times, at a minimum, I mean, the number is probably more like 10 times to commit violent crimes, and especially black and white crime, but they're 10 times more likely to commit violent crimes of, murder, rape, and those kind of things. What Professor Adams had done, this thing about the food, right, is because he compared Ecuador prisons, right? They were saying that our American prison is the worst in the world. And, of course, it's because we're racist. That's one of the reasons, okay? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, that's why there's so many blacks in jail, and because we treat them so badly, blah, blah. And he said all he did was he went and compared Ecuador. And what happens in Ecuador? Well, they have the prisoners there have no attorneys, no juries, and typically had to wait 2 to 3 years for a trial on a sentence, which would end them up only give them like 2 to 3 months. Mm. So here they are sitting in friggin' jail for 2 or 3 years, even to come to a trial. They never had an attorney. right? They weren't even judged that. Well, this reminds me of something too. This reminds me of Ernst Zundel, right? So what happened with him? He goes whisked off to Canada, sat in jail for 2 years.
Solitary confinement too.
Solitary confinement. They kept the light on. People, this is torture.
Mm-hmm.
This is what, you know, the we say the Vietnamese and stuff did to our prisoners of war. And here, that's supposed to be behind us now, right? And of course, America doesn't do those things, or Canada doesn't, because we're the great Western, you know, civilized nations here. But what do they do to Ernst Zundel? That's exactly what they did.
If anybody has stumbled across us at areamatters.com, someone supplied you with the link of this show, just do some research. Google the information that we come across here. Check our news sources and ask yourself this question. Why is the majority of the population in the United States, United Kingdom, France, Germany, you name it, are all non-whites? United States, it's mainly Negroes. United Kingdom, it's Negroes and Asians. France, it's probably blacks, Africans, Germany, Turks, you name it. Non-whites are overrepresented in all our prisons. And ask yourself the question, why is that? And the reason is, once again, non-whites don't fit in white urban society. They can't cut it. They struggle. I have an opinion that all these riots are just in a it's just, they're so pent up living in a modern white society that they just explode. They just can't handle it. That's the reason why.
Well,
it's like a ticking time bomb. They are like dynamite in our cultural civilization. They can't cope. They don't fit. They can't cope. Then they explode.
Okay, we're always going to be agreed that we cannot live with these nogs because of their nature.
Thomas Jefferson, one of your greatest presidents, said it, that we can't. Both races cannot live in the same government.
The same form of government, right? And Abraham Lincoln even you know, planned on sending them back to Africa. You know, a lot of people don't know that. I mean, Abraham Lincoln invited a delegation of blacks into the White House.
That was the famous Lincoln plan, correct?
And he did not even let them sit down. They had to come in. They had to stand up. And he said, "Look, we can't live with you, and we're sending you back to Africa, and you guys need to help us convince the rest of your people."
And they created a country
to go back to Africa, Liberia.
That was
before that. I think it was before that, because the churches and stuff had done that. But anyway, the point is,
I think President Monroe created Liberia.
Yeah, that's
if I
right.
Remember.
Yeah, that's right. And that was before Lincoln. And again, what he wanted though at that time, and he had done this, is he had actually got the United States government to appropriate money to buy slaves from the South. And from slaveholders, who again were mostly Jews, and you can find this information on the internet too. But he wanted to buy them so he could send them back. You know, that was part of the plan.
There's a great book on that by the Nation of Islam. It's called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. Shows you the true people who behind slavery. And once again, my people, it was Jews.
Right, it was Jews. And you know, in those books, and this is what Professor Tony Martin, the black professor from Wellesley College, points out, and he gets of course blasted by Jews. And here he is, he said, back in the time when Americans owned slaves, the Jews were over two times as likely to have slaves in their household than the average white person. The number was something like 76% of households that owned slaves were Jewish, and when you look at the average white Aryan people, that was like 30% or 32% at the most own slaves. So they were over twice as likely. Now we're into our roundtable talk, right? And we have about 14 minutes left.
I just want to say, if anyone has any questions for us, if you stumbled across the website, areamatters.com, or someone supplied you with our link from another website, no matter how you got here, we welcome you. We hope the website shocks you a little bit. And it's supposed to wake you up. And if you have any questions for us, we have an email address. And that email address is askaneonazi.com. Oh, sorry. askaneonazi@yahoo.com. So any questions to us, you can email us there, and we'd be quite happy to answer your questions on any of the topics that we discuss in the programs. and the roundtable talk. In fact, we've gone from these news stories directly into the roundtable, so we're just going to continue on until the show ends at the top of the hour. I just want to apologize to everybody. I seem to have an ABC News fixation this evening. Again, I was plopped down in front of the one-eyed Jew because I had was told that a show that was up and coming regards the National Vanguard people and the National Alliance people. So I was been eagerly waiting for 3 weeks for the show to pop its sorry head up on the television, and sure enough, it popped its ugly head up on television, and the reporter going by the name of Cynthia McFadden was the reporter of this abomination of a television program, where we had two of our wonderful singers, Prussian Blue, Lamin Lynx Gady, and her mom, April Gady. She's a senior member of the National Vanguard organization. Also, Eric Levy and his wife, Erica, were seen outside a rock concert giving out CDs and Resistance magazine for resistancerecords.com. The program itself was, I have never seen such a hatchet job in all my life watching TV programs about our movement. The constant use of hate, I can accept that because it's de facto what the Jewish media will do. We are all haters.
Right.
We are the preservers of our race, yet we're haters by these people, by the Jewish media, for obvious reasons, as we all know. But this show, it was on for half an hour, and I was quite appalled watching this whole program. It was a hatchet job from the moment the show started until the show ended. And that's Cynthia McFadden. I don't know how she can look herself in that mirror, but she was an absolute disgrace of a reporter.
Well, you know, the reason is because she believes all that hype. You know, she believes that she's on the right side. And as Alex Leonard and all these other people point out, you know, it's because of this false media reality that they've created for us, right? And really, it is a result of the mass media. Now, when the
what is black and what is white? That's the juxtaposition of what the media tries to show. Good is bad. Bad is good.
Right, right. It's the exact opposite. And of course, again, they try to frame us and say that anybody who wants to preserve white people, who loves white people enough to say, look, we are only 10% of the world's population, and we are dropping fast. And we're dropping for many, many reasons, and all of these reasons can be traced to the Jews. And it's because of feminism. They were behind the feminist movement. And again, you can look up all the people, Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug, all these feminist Jews that were behind, you know, that. The majority of abortion doctors are Jews. There's something like, in America alone, 40 million babies aborted in the last 20 years, you know, since Roe v. Wade was enacted. And you've got all these girls out there who think their job is not to have children and raise a family, but their job is to go out and work.
Well, white
have an abortion if they have a baby.
White females have been programmed to go to work. Career comes first, family comes last. Yes, if you walk down any street in the United States, Great Britain, France, Spain, Germany, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, any of those white Aryan countries, and you'll see non-whites with a flock of little kiddies all around them. Whereas all our white women are at work until they're 30, 34. And then at that point, I saw an interesting program a while ago where they had all these business women on this show. And every one of them regretted that they waited.
Yeah.
Until they were 30, 40, 45.
Because
it's
not natural, right? The thing that is natural for women that makes them the happiest is to take care of their children, right? First, they're happy when they meet a man. Then when they have kids, that's when their priorities shift, and it's by nature too. Now they are more attached to their children than they are to the husband. Whether or not you believe in evolution or whether or not God, you know, a supernatural being created us and put us in motion, doesn't matter. This is the way it is, and, you know, the way reality is. And thousands of years ago, if the woman was still attached to her husband and she had these children, what would she do if there was some altercation, you know, where her husband was about to be, you know, put to death or killed by a bear or whatever, she would go out and try to protect her husband. But that's not the case. The case is now she's got these children. They are her number one priority. She protects them and stays with them and raises them. And that is also, lo and behold, what makes her the happiest. That's what makes females their happiest and gives them their fulfillment in life, because they're doing the natural thing. And it's a great thing.
It was quite telling when I watched this program. Every one of them, all these women were 38 years of age, and every one of them regretted not having kids a lot earlier in their early 20s.
Yeah, and that surprised me. And again, now the other problem is, of course, is the economy, right? So if they're okay, first you got all this media blitz advertising, right? Which I didn't say earlier, but again, when the television was created, the first people who made a beeline and created the first media, or television studios, CBS, NBC, and all that, they were all founded by Jews. Of course, they called them Russians at first, but of course they were Russian Jews, right? Goldenstein and all these guys. And again, you can find that. I say the best source for that is this movie called, our documentary called The Other Israel, which delineates all this stuff. And I think even Who Rules America might even have the information of who originally founded the major TV studios, and then of course who runs them now. Of course, and it's all owned and run and controlled by Jews. But my point is that they realized that this medium was the most effective medium that had ever been created, and still is, right? Because what it has is it has not only the sound, which radio had, which again was a step up over newspapers, but rapidly from there they progress to the images, right? So now you've got everything right there. You've got sound and images, and you can get people to want new things or to believe whatever you can get away with, and however you can sugarcoat or manipulate them into thinking this is what they want. So what's happened now is all these girls who watch all these stupid TV shows, they really believe that what they want is to be like those girls, like Britney Spears. Britney Spears, okay, think about that. A 20-year-old girl wearing a jogging outfit, you know, dancing on stage. And this is supposed to be some kind of role model? What is she doing? What has she accomplished really here? Running around like an idiot, you know, singing these stupid songs, and half of her dancing crew was non-whites. And here all these teens and stuff idolize her? Why? Why? It that doesn't make any sense. Well, part of that is their programming to make them think that way. And again, if all these girls who want this stuff, they want their own car, they want their own house, they want all this stuff, it has gotten so bad that father of a family cannot take care of or afford to take care of his family or give them everything they want, right? Of a large family, definitely he said, well, I can only have one or two kids because I can't afford anything more. Right, I can't afford five kids. You know what that means? That means buying all the stuff for school. Everybody's got to have computers. Then when they go to college, oh my God, look how expensive college is. And guess everybody that goes, almost every single buddy, unless you have wealthy parents, that goes to college, gets themselves in debt in college. They charge credit cards. They take out student loans, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Then when they start working, they got to work for years to pay that off. You know, and again, it's a vicious cycle. And all this time spent doing these frivolous and useless things are generally not fulfilling, not advancing the race at all, or our people at all, but in fact declining. Now, for the major things that are causing the decline of the white race, when 10% going down, abortion, all this stuff, the other thing is the miscegenation, right? The race mixing. What do you have all these blacks here and friggin' Chicano, spick, wetback? Our children are surrounded by them, and of course our white, beautiful daughters are much better looking than the non-white girls. So they go after them. Next thing you know, you got all these mixture, and that again destroys the race. You do not have, and you cannot have, a beautiful white blonde baby, you know, come out of a mixture between a spick and a white girl. You can't have it. So that destroys the race right there. And again, who's pushing this?
The Jews.
The Jews.
Our race is being squeezed. It's being squeezed geographically. It's being squeezed financially. It's being squeezed culturally. It's being squeezed every which way you can think. We are being, basically, folks, we're being squeezed. We're being shut out. The Jews are behind it. They're pushing their Negroes onto us. with their riots and the looting and the raping of our people. We're basically being squeezed out of white space, as I see it, all over the white Western world. White people are losing
their
space to the non-whites, the lower peoples, the undermen, as I like to call them sometimes. We're being squeezed out of our land space, people. And unless we get together as one, as a group, the blacks are groupized, the Mexicans are groupized in the United States, in the United Kingdom, the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, the Muslims are groupized in France, the Africans are all Africanized, pardon the pun there, in Germany, the Turks are all Turkized. These people are all group. They believe in their group. White people have got to get group and group real quick. Otherwise, we're going to lose our landmass, we're going to lose our civilization, and in the end, we're going to lose our people and our race.
Yeah, like, you know, like Rockwell said, it doesn't matter if the Constitution is preserved and all the white people are gone from this country. What we have to do is we should say, who cares what happens to the Constitution? It's what happens to our people, because our people produce the Constitution. And obviously from that source, if the source is destroyed, you can never have another Constitution. Where if the source is preserved, we can always come up with another Constitution, another form of government, another way of life. This time, the optimistic thing, we don't want to be too pessimistic here on this program. And again, we're doing this to add and increase the media, because the way we have to defeat the Jew is by media. They have the mass media. We need to create, and this is the whole point of Dr. Pierce's National Alliance, this is to create a national mass media, hopefully eventually international mass media, that can compete with the Jewish mass media. It is fight fire with fire. It is equal time. Mm-hmm. We are seeking
equal time
because we know we're telling the truth. When we say these blacks and stuff are not equal to us, they are not. That is a fact, and we can prove it.
Everything we mention is verifiable. You can go on the internet now, and everything we say is verifiable. You can buy these books. Everything we say is verifiable. What we say is the truth. And white people, you better wake up, because you're losing the planet. And you could imagine a world without the builders of civilization, ancient Rome, ancient Greece, the great writers, Plato. I can go on and on and on. Michelangelo. I can go on. The great white people are civilization. Imagine a world without us.
Yeah, well, say like this even. Imagine those cities without us, mm-hmm. and guess what? There are. So Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. right, which at one time had the highest crime rate in the world. Now I think it's Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. But the point is, if you believe that the Africans are our equals, I dare you to walk through the black part of D.C. at midnight.
At midnight, yeah.
And in it, like Rockwell said, he had told this girl that. He said, you know, walk from one side of that suburb in, you know, the black suburbs in Washington, D.C. Walk from one side to the other at midnight. And if you make it out alive, you'll either be a white nationalist, a national socialist, you know, or you'll be dead. I mean, it's either you make it across or you won't make it. And so that proves the point.
If you want to contact us again, we have our email address is askaneonazi@yahoo.com. Our webpage is areamasses.com, and we'll have our new stories up as soon as the show is finished, or probably the next day, the four stories that we talk about. If you like the show, tell everybody about it. And we like to push this show as much as we can. And this is our first show, and we're a bit nervous, so probably as we move on, we'll swing ourselves into this, and we will educate, illuminate, and hopefully the white race won't be exterminated. From my name is James Hoffa. I want to say goodnight and thanks for listening.
And this is Lee Gardner, and thanks a lot, and we hope to see you again in 1 week.